All right, we're back in Daniel chapter 7. We ended up in verse 8 last week, but just to kind of recap what we went through in this vision, Daniel saw four beasts rise up out of the sea. The first was like a lion, which represented Babylon. The second was like a bear, which was the Medo-Persian Empire. The third like a leopard, which represented the Grecian Empire. And the fourth beast was dreadful, terrible, strong exceedingly. It could not be even be described as a normal beast like the ones that were above, but that represented the Roman Empire. And then the ten horns, as we looked, God is showing us where these ten kings are coming from. It said the ten horns out of this kingdom or out of Rome are ten kings that will come. And then we saw in verse 8 that another little horn will rise up after them. And this little horn is the Antichrist. But I'll start again. I want to read verse 8 again, and we'll continue on from here. Verse 8 says, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. There came up among them, here we see another little horn, came up among the ten. Now the ten are coming from the same land area that the old Roman Empire occupied, and him coming up among them shows that the Antichrist himself will also rise up in the same land area that the old Roman Empire occupied. And again, you will see this as we continue that this little horn is the Antichrist in the rest of chapter 7 and especially in chapter 8. But notice that God did not call this a sixth beast here or kingdom, even though it is a sixth or separate kingdom that will rise up in the future. Remember, these first four beasts, like a lion, bear, leopard, and then the dreadful, terrible one represented by Rome. All of these are history. They have come and gone. Everything in the vision from thereafter, the ten kings and the little horn, are yet future. But I believe we are living in the last days, and as we continue in this study, you will see that more and more. And I don't believe it will be too long before they come on the scene. Amen. But again, the reason he did not call this, even the ten kings here, a fifth kingdom, or the Antichrist kingdom, a sixth kingdom, or the little horn, is because he is showing us where they will be located. And you can see that. Look at that map I handed out on the old Roman Empire. You'll see that there, where the extent of that land area is. And that map is pretty accurate. Some do vary a little bit, but I believe that's on the money there. But God is showing us again where they will come from. And I can tell you without any doubt that the country the Antichrist is coming from is located within that land area you see on that map right there from the old Roman Empire territory. Amen? And you'll see this without any doubt when we get to chapter 8, and then even more so in chapter 11. But we also see here that this little horn, when he comes on the scene, he is going to pluck up three of the first horns by the roots. After this alliance of ten kings has risen in the latter days, remember in Daniel chapter 2, it said, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. So these ten kings are going to be in existence in the latter days when Jesus returns and sets up his kingdom, but also the Antichrist is going to rise up among them, plucking up three of the others by the roots, and then the other seven, as we will see later on, and I'm hoping at the end of next week we can compare what we've seen in Daniel to Revelations chapter 13 and 17, and you will see what God is showing us here. Amen. But now, another point here. Remember, on these ten kings, there are only ten kings. And it says, and the little horn came up among them and plucked up three of the first. First what? First ten. you know, you get a lot of different teachings where, okay, you know, some say there was 13, and after he plucked up 3, it brought it down to 10. There were 10 to start with. The Antichrist comes up among them. He is not one of the 10. He is from a separate kingdom, and he will pluck up 3 of the first by the roots. Can everyone see that kind of following me now? But once God raises up this Antichrist, he is going to be an unstoppable force until Jesus Christ returns and destroys him at the second coming. Remember, God removes kings, sets up kings. Every one of these kingdoms we're looking at in the book of Daniel, and every chapter we're going to look at is dealing with kingdoms or countries. But every one of them, when God rose them up, they ruled undefeated till God removed them. God's the one that removes them, and God's the ones that sets the next ones up. Amen. But in Revelation 13:4, now I'll be reading a few scriptures here, jumping back and forth, and it'll be quick, so you probably won't have time to go there. But it says in 13:4 of Revelation, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now the Antichrist is known by many, many names in the Word of God. Here in Daniel chapter 7, and then as we'll see in Daniel chapter 8, he is called the little horn. And in Revelation chapter 13, he is called the beast. But he is going to be more fierce than any of these kings or kingdoms that came before him. But then we see in the latter part of verse 8 that this little horn or Antichrist has eyes like a man and a mouth speaking great things. This proves that the little horn is a man, and here the great things that he is speaking are blasphemies against God. And again, I'm going to jump to Revelation verse 13, 5 through 6 says, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things. We're talking about the same man here. Are y'all getting the picture? This little horn in Daniel is the same as the beast in Revelations. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Can you see how these books are coming together? You're going to see it as we go. You're going to see it more and more. But the Word of God is going to harmonize. I'm telling you, the Word of God is going to harmonize. There's so many teachings that, different teachings that come out of Revelation and out of Daniel, and it's so diverse. But when you understand, especially the book of Daniel, and when you understand what God is showing us, I'm going to tell you the scriptures on the end times throughout the Bible harmonize. They will harmonize. Now let's look at verses 9 through 10 here, still in chapter 7. It says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. Now, there's a lot I'd like to talk about here. First, we see that the thrones were cast down. This represents Jesus Christ returning and destroying the Antichrist and the 10 kings at the second coming. Remember the stone that struck the image in Daniel chapter 2? On its feet and toes, in the days of these kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Are y'all follow me along here? Then we see also here in 9 and 10, that the Ancient of Days did sit. Now, I know there's controversy over this, but I believe this is God the Father, and you'll see why when we get to verse 13. But from verse 9 and verse 13, it appears to me that God the Father is going to make an appearance here at the second coming, and we'll talk more about that when we get to verse 13. But then we see an awesome picture of God here. His garment was white as snow, his hair like pure wool, his throne like a fiery flame, his wheels as burning fire. And a fiery stream issued forth from before him. And we also see here in verse 10 that innumerable multitudes ministered unto him and stood before him. I believe that this multitude we see here includes all the saints and angels which return to earth with Jesus Christ at the second coming. Amen. And the scriptures back this up in many books, but Zechariah 14:5 says, "And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee." And in Matthew 25:31 it says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory," second coming, coming in his glory, "and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." And then Revelation 19:14 says, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." What an awesome, awesome sight this is going to be, and we're going to see it. Amen. If Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, we will be in this multitude here standing before the Lord. Amen. It's going to be awesome. But then finally, lastly, here in verse 10, we see that the judgment was set and the books were opened. Now, this judgment here is the judgment of the nations that takes place at the second coming of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the one that does the judging at this time. Now, Matthew 25:31-33 says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left." Now, the nations that we see here are going to be judged, I believe, according to how they treated Israel during the seven-year tribulation period. Now, these are people, these nations that he's judging among right here are people that survived the seven-year tribulation period. Those on his right hand will be allowed to enter the millennial kingdom. And these are the ones that we are going to rule and reign over with Christ. Amen? But the people that are placed on his left hand will be cast into hell at that time. Now remember, these are people that survived the tribulation period, and God, Jesus, when he returns, separates some sheep from the goats. You enter the kingdom. These on the left are cast into hell at that time. And again, we will rule and reign over them. But you can see the judgment of the nations when you get a chance. It's in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 46. We also see this in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. All right, let's move along. Verse 11 says, "I beheld them because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake." Remember, we're talking about the little horn. "I beheld even till the beast," catch that word, "till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame." Here the little horn or the Antichrist is called the beast. He will be slain by Jesus Christ at the second coming and then cast into the burning flame or hell at that time. And we also see this same picture in the book of Revelation. Revelation 19:20 says, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone." Do you see how the scriptures are harmonizing? We'll keep jumping back and forth comparing the two. But do you see, can you begin to see now that the little horn is the Antichrist? He is called the beast in Revelation, and they even call him the beast here in Daniel in verse 11. All right, let's move on to verse 12. It says, "As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time." And this simply means that each kingdom represented by the beast in this dream or vision will reign for a season and a time and then pass away. Remember, God removes kings and God sets up kings. They were here for their appointed time and then gone. All right, now let's look at verse 13. It says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Here we see one like the Son of Man. Who is this? Jesus Christ. One like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. This is definitely a picture of Jesus at the second coming. Jesus said in Matthew 26:64, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. The same picture we see here in verse 13. He came with the clouds of heaven. But then we see that he came to the Ancient of Days, who I believe here is God the Father. And like I said, it appears to me that God the Father will also be making an appearance here at the second coming. Again, that's the way I see this. But now let's look on at the next verse here, verse 14. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom. Can you see we're talking about the second coming here? This is the latter days. There are those who teach this little horn was a guy we're going to talk about a little bit in Daniel chapter 11, Antiochus Epiphanes or Antiochus IV. This little horn here is the Antichrist. As you'll see when we get to Daniel chapter 11, Antiochus IV is dead. He's been gone. This is talking about the little horn or the Antichrist. But we see here there was given, talking about Jesus now, there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. The same picture we saw in Daniel chapter 2. He will set up a kingdom. In the days of these kings, talking about the 10 kings in chapter 2, in the days of those kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. We're talking about the same thing. The dream Daniel had in chapter 2 again, or Nebuchadnezzar had in chapter 2, and Daniel had here in chapter 7, are identical in meaning, except in chapter 7, God gives us an additional picture of the final and last kingdom that's going to rise up in the last days, and that's the kingdom of the Antichrist. Otherwise, the two dreams are identical. That is in meaning. All right. But again, here Jesus is given dominion, glory, and a kingdom that will never be destroyed. And who is he given this from? God the Father, the Ancient of Days. Amen. All right, let's move on to verse 15 through 18 here. It says, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts which are four kings which shall rise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Now again in verse 17 here, Daniel is told that there are only four beasts right there. But there are definitely, as we have seen, two more kingdoms that are going to rise up in the latter days at the time of the second coming. Amen? And I believe it's going to be in the very near future. I believe God is removing kings and setting up kings in the Middle East right now, setting his end time stage up. It's going to start, I believe, and soon. But then we see that the saints of the Most High shall possess the kingdom forever. Amen. That is you and I and everyone that knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen. All right, let's look at verse 19 through 22 here now. He said, then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of a lion, and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell. Even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows, I beheld in the same horn made war with these saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints should possess the kingdom. Now you're going to see more clearly what God is showing us here. In other words, we're going to see the interpretation of this fourth kingdom and what's going to come out of it in the latter days. The rest of the chapter is going to focus, starting with Rome and continuing on there. But notice, again, the focus is on this fourth kingdom, which was the old Roman Empire. Okay, Daniel said that now he knows the truth of the fourth beast and of the 10 horns that were in his head and of the other which came up after them and before whom 3 fell. Then in verses 21 and 22, we see that the Antichrist will prevail against the saints until the second coming. Now these are saints again which become saints after the rapture of the church. Amen? All right, let's look at verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. Now we're still talking about Rome, but look on here at verse 24. Now I'm only going to read the first part of verse 24, and then we'll come back and read it all. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. Now it says right here, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom. Do you see it more clearly? God is showing us that these 10 kings will come from the same land area that the old Roman Empire occupied. And this is definitely a fifth kingdom. This is not the fourth kingdom. These are 10 kings, 10 separate kings, an alliance of kings that will exist in the latter days. And remember, this is not a revival of the Roman Empire. Not a revival of the Roman Empire, but an alliance of 10 kings. All right, now let's look at verse 24 again, and I'll read it all. It said, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. So in the latter half of this verse here, we see that another shall rise after them. He will be different from the 10 and subdue or conquer 3 kings. And again, this is the little horn, who is the Antichrist. Again, God is also showing us that this Antichrist will also come from the same land area, just like the 10 kings that the old Roman Empire occupied. And from this verse, you see clearly that there are definitely 2 more kingdoms that will arise out of this fourth kingdom in the last days. All right, let's look on now at verse 25. Talking about the little horn now. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. So here again we see a picture of the Antichrist blaspheming God, and that he shall persecute the saints for 3.5 years. Times here means 1, times means 2, and a half a time is a half a year. So 3.5 years, or this represents the latter half of the tribulation period. And we see this exact same thing again in the book of Revelation. Revelation 13:5 said, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now, 42 months is exactly 3.5 years. Time, times, and the dividing of time that we saw in Daniel is 3.5 years, the same man. This little horn is the Antichrist, all right? There can be no doubt, there's no doubt in my mind whatsoever. But as we know, the Antichrist will make a covenant with Israel for 7 years. But then, after 3.5 years, he's going to break his covenant with them. And it's at that time that the worship of the beast will be established and persecution of the saints magnified. Revelation 20 verse 4 says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hand, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now I believe that the rapture of the church, again, is going to take place soon. And we don't want to be left behind. Look what just happened to these saints here. They were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of their testimony. Their faith was put to the test. Amen? Their faith was put to the test. And again, these are saints that became saints after the rapture of the church. Because when the rapture takes place, there's not going to be a Christian left on the face of this earth for a moment. I'm sure there are going to be people that are going to realize what has happened, and they're going to hit their knees and hit them quick and give their hearts to the Lord then. But it's going to be a hard time. Those that get caught, we see what's going to happen. Amen? But besides that, none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. Amen? We need to be ready to meet the Lord tonight. Every day we need to be ready to meet the Lord. All right, let's look at verse 26 through 28 now. It said, "But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much trouble me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." So here again we see that the Antichrist will be destroyed at the second coming of Christ. Then the eternal kingdom of God is going to be established. And this kingdom again is going to be given to the saints of the Most High. Now, I believe that these 10 kings here, this fifth kingdom in the dream, I believe that these 10 kings will form before the rapture of the church. This is my theory now. In Revelation 6, verses 1 and 2, when the first seal is opened, at the beginning of the 7-year tribulation period, this is the first judgment being poured out here, the white horse rider or the Antichrist goes forth conquering and to conquer. I believe this, at the beginning of the tribulation period, is when he conquers 3 of the 10 kings. And for that reason, I believe this 10 kingdom alliance will already be in existence when the rapture of the church takes place. This Antichrist is going to make a 7-year covenant with Israel. He's going to be at peace with Israel and Israel only. There's not another nation in the Word of God that the Antichrist has shown making peace with. But while he's at peace with Israel, the Antichrist coming from, and we'll find out a little later on, is going to be gaining his power base. He is going to have power over these 10 kings, as we'll see when we look at Revelation and compare it to Daniel. At the middle of the tribulation period, Revelation 13 verse 1, he's got these 10 kings under his control. That's when he breaks his covenant with Israel. Amen. So that's why I think we're going to see these 10 kings. And that's why, like we talked about last week, that's why I'm looking at the alliances, and I've been looking at them since the early 90s, looking at talk of alliances forming in the same area that the old Roman Empire occupied around that Mediterranean Sea. That is where they're coming from, the 10 kings, amen, and also the Antichrist. And you'll see where he's coming from once we get through with chapter 11. But the purpose again for these dreams, each and every one of them that we're going to cover, they're prophetic, they're dealing with the end times, is to show us what will happen in the latter days or in the end times. Amen. And just to recap real quickly, in chapter 2, God said that there will be an alliance of 10 kings in the latter days when Christ returns to earth to set up his millennial kingdom. He said, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. No doubt, latter days, everybody sees that. I mean, there's no doubt. Then here in chapter 7, God has given us an additional piece of information dealing with the end times or latter days, and he showed us not only will the 10 kings, but the little horn also will rise up among the 10 from the same land area that Rome occupied and pluck up 3 of the 10 by the roots. Amen. And we talked about, again, alliances that have already been forming in this region. But I believe, again, that this alliance could form and could form in the very near future. Amen. All right. We're making good time tonight. Let's move on in. We're going on into chapter 8 now. Go into chapter 8. And again, you're going to see this little horn here in chapter 8, the same little horn that we talked about here in chapter 7. Okay. Let's look at verses in chapter 8. If everybody's there, let's start reading. I want to read verse 1 through 4. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam, and I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Ulay. Now I know a lot of these words I'm probably not pronouncing right, and y'all just have to bear with me on that. But then I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. So here Daniel sees a ram having two horns. And this ram with two horns represents the Medo-Persian Empire. We talked about the Medo-Persian Empire in Daniel chapter 2 and again in Daniel chapter 7, but we'll see this in verse 20. It tells us who it is. But the ram had one horn, it says, that was higher than the other, and it came up last. This higher horn represents Cyrus the Persian, which ruled the Medo-Persian Empire after Darius the Mede. Remember when the Medo-Persian Empire moved on Babylon, Darius, it says in Daniel, was the king at that time. But this higher horn represents Cyrus, who the Medo-Persian Empire was much stronger under the rule of the Persians during his reign. But do you remember now in Daniel 7:5, if you have your charts there, that the Medo, or in the Word of God there in verse 7:5, that the Medo-Persian Empire was represented as a bear. But this bear in verse 5 there said, and it raised itself up on one side. That has the same meaning as the higher horn on the ram in this vision, representing the strength of the Persians over the Medes there. Amen. But this vision also, notice, as you're beginning to see, is dealing with kingdoms. And again, every chapter that we're going to look at here is dealing with kingdoms. Kingdoms, okay? All right, now let's look at verse 5. And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn, the he-goat had a notable horn between his eyes. Now Daniel now sees a he-goat with this great notable horn between his eyes. This he-goat represents the Grecian Empire. And the notable horn between his eyes represents the first king, which was Alexander the Great. And we're going to see this in verse 21. It'll tell us clearly who this is. But when Daniel sees this he-goat coming from the west, it doesn't even touch the face of the ground. This represents the swiftness of Alexander the Great and his armies. And if you remember in Daniel 7:6, that the Grecian Empire was symbolized as a leopard which had four wings on its back. That too represented the swiftness of Alexander the Great and his armies. All right, let's look on at verses 6 and verse 7 here. It says, "And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram and brake his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand." And again, this represents the Grecian Empire who did conquer the Medo-Persian Empire. Remember, God removeth kings and sets up kings. And as we're going to see here at the end of chapter 8, we're going to see how kings are set up. Actually, in chapter 10, we're going to see how kings are set up and removed, how God goes about doing this. But this came to pass just as the word of God said that it would. Amen. His word is true and coming to pass just as he said. Now look at verse 8. "Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven." This great horn being broken represents Alexander the Great's death. Then we see that four notable ones rise up after his death. It is very important that you understand who these four kingdoms are. These are actually four kingdoms also. We've got to know who these four kingdoms are if we are going to understand the vision, especially that we see in Daniel chapter 11. Now, God does not give us the identity of these four kingdoms here. But with a little research, it is easy. It is easy to find out who these were. All you have to do is take what you know and do a little research. In this case, I researched Alexander the Great and what happened after his death, and it wasn't long before I found out who these four kingdoms were. And what had happened here, several of Alexander's generals fought for many years trying to divide his kingdom up, you know, for a piece of the action here. But finally, his empire was divided into four kingdoms by four of his generals. They are called the kingdoms, and I don't know how to pronounce this word, Diadochi. The kingdoms of the Diadochi, or the successors of Alexander the Great. That's all you've got to look up, and you can see it. I've got a map that I'm going to hand out that shows, it's called the kingdoms of the Diadochi, or the successors. And it will show each these four kingdoms, who had them, and how big a land area each kingdom covered. But Cassander was the general of Alexander the Great that took Greece. Lysimachus was the general of Alexander the Great that took Turkey. Seleucus took Syria, and Ptolemy took Egypt. These are the four horns or kingdoms that we see here in this vision. And again, Greece, Turkey, Syria, and Egypt. So why didn't God reveal the identity of these four kingdoms to us here? I believe it's because that the dream was not to be revealed until the end times. And we'll see this several times throughout Daniel. But Daniel 12:9 says, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." Amen. They're sealed till the time of the end. Now, in this dream here, from this point, what we've just covered, this point back is now history. The dream is now going to shift to the future, just like these other dreams we looked at. All of them have a latter-day meaning. The purpose is to show us what's coming to pass in the latter days. So the dream is now going to shift to the future. Look at verse 9. And out of one of them came forth a little horn. Out of one of them, out of one of those four kingdoms, came forth the little horn, which waxed great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. Did y'all just catch that? Out of one of these four kingdoms came forth the little horn, or the Antichrist. God has now narrowed down the coming of the Antichrist to one of four kingdoms. He doesn't tell us which one here in chapter 8, but he is going to in chapter 11, and you'll see that plainly when we get there. Amen. But the purpose behind God giving this vision to Daniel has just been revealed to us. He's letting us know where the Antichrist is coming from. And I'll turn this chart around now. But you can see here the ram, and as we go on through the interpretation in the dream, the ram represented Medo-Persia, the he-goat represents Greece. And after Alexander the Great's death, his kingdom was divided into these four countries, Greece, Turkey, Syria, and Egypt. And then we see here that out of one of them comes the little horn, or the Antichrist. Have y'all ever known that before? Are you learning something new? I know some of us have. But it's amazing what God is showing us. God has a purpose and a plan. He wants us to know what's happening in the latter days. Amen? But again, he has just revealed to us that the Antichrist is coming from one of the four divisions of the Grecian Empire after Alexander the Great's death. But there again are many different teachings about the Antichrist. But I'm telling you, don't believe what anybody says if it don't line up with the Word of God, because the Antichrist is coming from one of those four countries right there. And again, you're going to see it. Let the Word of God, don't believe what I teach you if it don't line up with the Word of God. Let the Word of God be the final authority always. Amen? Always. But do you see how important it is to understand the Word? I mean, if I hadn't done my research, you know, where would I be now? Where would I be? But when God doesn't always give us the whole picture, he gives us enough clues that all we have to do is take that little bit of information that God does give us and do a little research. But we couldn't have done this way back. When I first started this study, I had to go to the library. I did not have a computer. Computers were rare back then. You had to have big bucks to get a computer, and they were pretty good size too, amen? But in the last days, shut the vision, Daniel, for it shall be for many days or the end times. We're seeing it now. We're seeing it now, amen? But we also see in verse 9 that the little horn waxed great toward the south, towards the east, and towards the pleasant land. And the pleasant land here is Israel. And most all of these dreams, he persecutes. We see that he is going to persecute the Christians, the Jews, the chosen people here at the end. But he will also move on Israel again after he breaks his 7-year covenant with them, with Israel, at the middle of the tribulation period. All right, let's look at verse 10. Again, talking about the little horn. And it waxed great, even toward the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Now, I believe the host of heaven mentioned here are those that are in charge of the temple worship. This would include the priest or anyone that has anything to do with the temple in Jerusalem. This is not speaking of a heavenly host, because the Antichrist and his armies literally trample these under his feet. And he could not do that with any angelic or heavenly being. Amen? So I believe what we're talking about here again are the priest and the people involved with the temple. Now look at verse 11 through 12. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, And by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Now look, the place of his sanctuary. Whose sanctuary is it? It is God's sanctuary. The place of his sanctuary was cast down, and an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. So we see here him magnifying himself even to the prince of the host. And magnifying means to make greater in size, status, or importance. Now there are many that believe this is talking about the high priest, but I disagree. When the Antichrist breaks his covenant with Israel, he's going into this temple, and as we all know from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he is going to proclaim himself to be God. He's magnifying himself against God. And it says again, the place of his sanctuary was cast down. This is God's sanctuary. And we see a picture of this in the following scripture here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 3 through 4 says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. This is the little horn we're talking about here in Revelation, the son of perdition, or the Antichrist, or the beast. Like I said, he's got many names throughout the word. But verse 4 says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So also in verse 11, we see him take away the daily sacrifice. And the place of his sanctuary was cast down. This shows us that this is taking place at the middle of the seven-year tribulation period. He has broken his covenant with Israel. He's gone into the temple. He's proclaiming himself to be God. This is where the beast worship is going to be initiated. This is where the time of Jacob's trouble actually starts, that we see in Jeremiah chapter 30, from right here on, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Amen. And this is taking place in the third temple, which has not been rebuilt yet, but will be rebuilt at that time. And we're not sure when this temple is going to be rebuilt, but it could be rebuilt even before the rapture of the church, but it could be rebuilt as a part of a treaty between Israel and the Antichrist. We just don't know. We don't know from the Word of God. But wouldn't that be a sight? If we were to see on the news something happened and all of a sudden here comes Israel building that temple, that would be an awesome sight, wouldn't it? But we also see in verse 12 that the truth will be cast to the ground and that the lies of the Antichrist will prosper. Now let's look at verse 13 and 14. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden under foot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. So here we see that after 2,300 days, the sanctuary will be cleansed. Now let me tell you, this is confusing right here. This is confusing. We know that the sanctuary is defiled at the middle of the seven-year tribulation period. No doubt there. That leaves 1,260 days, 42 months, or 3.5 years. They all mean the same thing. 3.5 years from that point till the second coming. So if this literally meant 2,300 days, then the sanctuary would not be cleansed until 1,040 days after the second coming. That's almost 3 years after the second coming. Would Jesus be here that long before the temple's cleansed? No, that's not going to happen. We know from Daniel 9:24, and we'll see this when we go through chapter 9, that the temple will be cleansed by the end of Daniel's 70th week. It will be cleansed. So what are we talking about here? I believe the answer could be found in verse 26. If you'll look at verse 26, jump there just for a minute. It says, and the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision for it shall be for many days. So from this verse, it looks like the 2,300 days are actually evenings and mornings. Now, again, if that is the case, each morning and evening would be included in that number. So each day would be counted as two, an evening and a morning, if again, if that's the case. But I believe it may very well be. Then let's look and see what would happen if that's the case. Then it would be 1,550 actual days until the temple is cleansed. So that would be 110 days before the second coming. So how could the temple be cleansed before the second coming? This would mean that there are some Jews who apparently had not fled into Petra that returned to Jerusalem and cleansed this temple before the second coming. And how can they do that if the Antichrist has broken his covenant with them and has been in the temple claiming himself to be God, in other words, ruling over Jerusalem? Now, I think if you, and I'll read Daniel 11:44, but I believe we may see the answer there. In Daniel 11:44, talking about the last king of the north or the Antichrist, it says, "But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly make away many." This Antichrist is going to hear tidings. Evidently, nations are mobilizing against him from the east and from the north of his kingdom, and he is going to have to leave out and go make war with them. And I believe this is going, I know this is going on during the latter part of the tribulation period, which the Jews evidently that did not flee into Petra, maybe some of the army that's been hiding out or whatever, someone I believe has gone back in there and cleansed this temple. But at least that's my theory. All right? And I'm going to stick to it. But like I say, it's confusing. It really is. But, you know, when you look, when you know what's going on, you can kind of start, okay, well, you know, if this happens, then, you know, this could happen. So it looks like that's the case to me. But let's move on now. Let's move on to verse 15 through 17 here. "And it came to pass when I Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood. And when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, Understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall the vision be." You see that? At the time of the end. Gabriel is now sent unto Daniel to show him the interpretation, and he has just let him know that this is going to be at the time of the end. So the purpose of the dream right there has just been revealed to us. Now look at verse 18 and 19. "Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, and he touched me and set me upright. And he said, Behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. For at the time appointed, the end shall be." Gabriel says, "I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. For at the time appointed, the end shall be." Here we see again, God is in control. Remember in chapter 2, Daniel said, God is in control. He removeth kings, setteth up kings. He changes the seasons, the time, and all that. God is in control. There is soon coming a time that has already been appointed for these events of the latter days or end times to take place. Amen? And we will see this mentioned as we go, even in chapter 11, at the time appointed. We're going to see this several times. All right. Now, indignation means God's displeasure with sin. It means God's anger, fury, and rage against sin. So Gabriel says, "I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation." And in saying this I believe is referring to God's wrath being poured out during the tribulation period. This will be the last end of the indignation when all of God's wrath is poured out during the tribulation. Again, this is the latter days. Amen. Now look at verse 36. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. And this scripture here is also referring to the Antichrist, who will be the last king of the north. The indignation will be accomplished when the Antichrist and his armies are destroyed at Armageddon. Amen. Zephaniah 3 and 8 says, therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. And then in Revelation 14, 9 through 10, it says, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Do you see how the scriptures are harmonizing here?
Where did you just read that from?
Revelation 14. That was Revelation 14, 9 through 10. And then I read Zephaniah 3 and 8. And they're both basically the same thing as saying in Daniel 11, 36. And there are so many other scriptures throughout the Bible. I mean, we could have spent a whole night talking about this. But this is showing what will happen in the latter days, or the last end of the indignation. Amen. Now we're going to stop here for tonight, but you do not want to miss. We're going to finish up chapter 8. We're going to touch on chapter 10, which won't take but just a minute or two, and then we're going to jump into chapter 11 next week. And you're going to see which one of these four countries right here the Antichrist is coming from. We will get that far next week. We may not get through with chapter 11, but we will get far enough for you to see where the Antichrist is coming from. Amen.